Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Daf Dalet, and we will begin on Masechta Sukkah Daf Gimel Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. As we had learned in the Mishnah and discussed in the previous shiurim, a sukkah higher than 20 amos is Machlokes Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda if it's kosher or not. Rabbi Yehuda says that it is, the Rabbanan hold it's not. Our shiur today is going to discuss various circumstances with such a sukkah, what the halacha is, and how it could possibly be rectified. Says the Gemara, Hoysukvah Mesim Amma. If the sukkah was more than 20 amas tall, a ball of matah b'karim b'kastas. So the person that wants to lessen the height puts on pillows and blankets on the floor, and like that, it won't be 20 amas tall anymore. Says the Gemara, Lai Havamir. That's not an acceptable way of diminishing the height of the sukkah. Even though the person intends to keep it there, it doesn't make a difference. People normally don't leave blankets and pillows on the floor, and therefore that's not an acceptable way of lessening the height. So obviously, if what was put on the floor, says the Aruch HaShulchan, are like planks of wood that are left on the floor, that would be acceptable, because they're left there. There's a machlokes Ran and Meiri, how to understand what is the issue in the Gemara. The Ran says, very simple, the person is not going to leave these items on the floor permanently, and therefore, even though he may decide to leave it, since most people don't, it's not acceptable. The Meiri takes it one step further. He says, even if you're going to leave something on the floor that people may leave on the floor, Chazal don't want to start saying this yes and this not, and therefore nothing will be acceptable. So ask the Bir Halacha, what's going to be the Halacha if you leave a carpet on the floor? Not a carpet that you actually attach to the ground, that would be certainly fine, but like a mat that you could pull off on and off. What would be the Halacha according to the Meiri? So the Bir Halacha says that could be that even the Meiri would agree that something like a carpet, which is meant to be on the floor, even though you may pick it up sometimes to clean, it belongs in the floor, that's where its place is, and everybody will agree it's acceptable to be used to lessen the height. When we learned Daf Beis, we learned three different reasons why Rabbanan held that a sukkah that's higher than 20 amos is disqualified. One reason is because you can't tell that you're sitting in the schach because it's so tall. So obviously this would be a good way of diminishing the height, because now it's not 20 amos, you could see the schach. Another reason we said was because when it's above 20 amos, the schach doesn't give shade. So now it's less than 20 amos, it gives shade. But as the Rishonim, we also learned the reason that the sukkah, according to Rabbanan, has to be a dir sarai, a temporary structure. And when you have walls that are 20 amos tall, it's not a temporary structure. So they ask, according to that reason, even if you put carpets or whatever on the floor, the walls are still 20 amos high. So you have sturdy walls. So why is this an acceptable way of diminishing the height? So some Rishonim actually say that this will not work according to that explanation. Other Rishonim say that even though you still have 20 amos walls that are 20 amos tall, that by definition have to be sturdy, since they're no longer 20 amos between the floor and the ceiling, so now you could have used a non-sturdy material to build the sukkah, the fact that you used the sturdy material doesn't disqualify the sukkah. And that is another shaila that we discussed, and that is when we know that a sukkah has to be kosher when it's made. Here the sukkah, when it was made, was disqualified, it was too tall, and now it only became kosher because you diminished the height, so it's tasav leimanasri. So why is the sukkah automatically acceptable? So the Rishonim, the Meiri discusses the Shaila, the Pnei Yeshua discusses the Shaila, and they say a very bechidish. They say tasav leimanasri is where there's a disqualification inherent in the schach. For example, you put on schach that was connected to the tree stump, and then you cut cut the branches. So when you put on that tzchach, it was inherently disqualified. So now when you cut it after they're on top of the roof, that's a concern of tassav leimanasri. In this case, the tzchach was perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with the tzchach. The problem was the height of the walls. Therefore, that's not called Tasev Leimanosoi. And as soon as you diminish the height, the sukkah is kosher. And that's the way the Paiskim say La Locha. Now the Gemara continues discussing different items that could be put on the floor that may be able to diminish the height. Says the Gemara, Tevin Ubitloi. If you put straw on the floor and you intend to leave that straw there permanently, have a meal. Straw can be left on the floor, it serves to diminish. The kosh can offer a butler. If you put earth on the floor, again, it belongs there, its place is there, and it diminishes the height. So there's two machloikas for shayinim here. Rashi says that bitloy, how do you do it? Befiv. You have to express that you're being mevapot. Just having it in mind is not adequate. Other rishonim say that bitloy is enough even if you think about it. But then Rashi says a kula. Rashi says you don't have to have in mind that it should be there forever. It has to just be the shiva for the 7 days of Sukkot. Other rishonim say no, bitloy means forever. So actually, I saw some of Farshim explaining Rashi. So why does Rashi say that you have to be mevatel befiv? Because you're leaving it there, you're only doing it for 7 days. If you will be mevatel it forever, Rashi would agree that you could do it the less. You don't have to express it.
Does it come with Pesach?
Oh. So the Achrayim asked, by Pesach we know that you have to be mevatel the chametz. And we learned the Gemara Masechta Pesachim that says that you can mevatel chametz belev. So why by bitl chametz you could do bitl belev, and over here Rashi says you have to do bitl bepeh? The Achrayim asked this question, and I saw a number of interesting answers. Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman answers the Gemara this way. He says what the bitl has to accomplish by chametz is a lot less than the bitl has to accomplish here. By chametz the bitl has to accomplish that I don't want to have it, I want to push it away from me. Here the bitl means I want to keep it. So I always explain it, it's creative versus destructive. Here I want to, by chametz, I want to push it away. Here I want to create a floor. It's a lot harder to create than to destroy. And therefore, here you need the peh, and there, belev is enough. Simcha Zisel Brody takes the same approach. In chametz, all you need to do is just have a gemira stance. You want to show that the chametz is out of your rishus. However, here, you want to actually create a floor, so you need much more of a bittel. I saw Rav Scheinberg gives a different answer. So the Gemara says, Shnei dvarim einim b'rishusa shel adam, v'kosav osam b'rishusa. The two things that really midaraisa aren't yours. Chametz v'Pesach, and bar b'rishusa rabim. So the chametz is really not yours. So therefore, a bittel belev accomplishes it. Here, the chametz, this is yours. You want to do a bittel, you have to do it b'peh. And with this we can answer, I saw a kasha that was asked of the Imre Yemes. We know chametz, everybody relies on mechiras chametz. When it comes to Shemitah, there's a big controversy always about relying on a mechira that they sell the land of Eretz Yisrael to a guy. So they asked Imre Yemes, chametz is a desideraisa. Shemitah nowadays, most poskim hold, is only the rabbanim. So why for chametz do we rely on mechira? And why for Shemitah don't we rely? If anything, it should be the other way. So, according to what we said, it's very understandable. Chametz is almost not yours anyway, like Rav Scheinberg says. Midrash, it's not yours. All you're trying to do is push it away. So there we can rely on Mechira. By Shemitah, we want to do a real transaction, transferring it from the Jew to the guy. That needs much more of a powerful kinyan that may be a haroma and not acceptable.
In Shemitah, you have an additional problem with Tzchonin.
Okay. Nargumar asks, Tevin Veinosa Lefnoisa, if you have straw, but you didn't actually, you weren't actually mevatel the straw, you just have no intention of removing it. Or the office stam, or you have plain earth, and you intend to leave it there. What is the halacha? And according to Rashi and Tosis, Offer Veinosa Lefnoisa is also part of the question. The Ritva says, Offer of ain osel of noise, if you have earth that you intend not to move away, is certainly bittel. Machlokes Rashi, Taisus versus the Ritva. What's the halacha in these cases? Says the Gemara, Machlokes Rav Yosi Rabbanan. Machlokes Rav Yosi Rabbanan. Just a word of introduction. The halacha is that we know that a mace gives off tumah. If there's a mace in a house, the halacha is like this. If there's a tefach of space between the mace and the roof of the house, the tumah only goes till the roof. However, if there's if the entire area between the mace and the roof is full, then the tumah goes up to the sky. So we learned the Mishnah Masechta Erevim Masechta Olos. You have a home where there's a mace laying there, and you fill out the house with different with hay or pebbles or bitloy mevutloy. If you leave it there permanently, then it's considered full. Bitloyin. So what are the Tanakam and the Rabbanon holding? Only if you specify that you're going to leave it there. Loy bitlo loy. Otherwise, it's not considered that you left it there. However, with Tani Lo, we learned that Rabbi Yosi disagrees with Rabbanon. Tevin ven osulof noisai. He says if you don't have intention not to remove the tevin. Or harei ka'afastam or bottle. So we see that Rabbi Yosi clearly holds that tevin vein osel of noisai or afastam have the status of mevotel. Offer of osel of noisai, but if you have earth that you intend to remove, harei ka'afastam tevin v'lo bottle. So just to review, everybody will agree that if you will mevotel it, it's not a question. Everybody will also agree that offer of osel of noisai and stam tevin is not good. The machlokes will be over tevin vein osel of noisai or stam offer. Is it considered mevutal? That's how Rabbi Yosi holds. Rabbanon holds it's not mevutal. Now the Gemara discusses another situation. The sukkah is higher than 20 amma. And as we explained when we began learning these sugyas, when we say that the sukkah has to be above 20 amma, it means no part of the schach is within 20 amma. Because a part of the schach is within 20 amos, then there's no concern anymore. But you have pieces of schach coming into within 20 amma. Says the Gemara, if the schach that's within 20 amos gives more shade, then they are independently kosher schach, and therefore it's kosher. But if you don't have enough strands coming down, it's possible. Now we also learned in the Mishnah that a sukkah has to be at least 10 tefachim tall. Says the Gemara, "Hoy segvay yud tefachim." If the sukkah is only 10 tefachim high, v'hutzim yod mutaych yud, and you have piece of a schach coming down within 10 tefachim, sava b'ilamim. So I said we should see how much is coming down. Im chamsim merubim esilsam. If not that much is coming down, that the pieces that are coming down don't give off shade, it's ksheira. Amalei Rava, so Rava disagreed. He says, even if you don't have that much schach coming down within 10 tefachim, it's still not kosher the sukkah anymore. Why? Because diras ruchahi, this is an uncomfortable place to live, vein olam darba diras rucha, and therefore, even though you have such few schach coming down, it's not the majority, it's still disqualified. So there's a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam, when he quotes this Gemara, says that this problem is only a problem l'chatchila. But the evidence, if you have such a situation, it will be kosher. That's what the Rambam says. So everybody asks, where does the Rambam take it from? From our Gemara, it seems pretty black and white, that it's unacceptable. One kasha. Another kasha. Tomorrow, we're going to learn a whole sugya. How do we know that a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim tall? Spend a whole lot on it. So, and the Gemara tries all sorts of different proof. So the Mefarshim asks, why do we have to have all different proof? Our Gemara just said, Dira Srucha. And Dira Srucha is not a Sukkah. So how do we understand the Rambam? And it'll help us understand Halacha L'maisa. Ask the Rajva, asks in the Shalos Teshuvos, if the Gemara is saying now that if pieces of Schach are coming down, it disqualifies the Sukkah. Ask the Rajva, what happens if you have no Sukkah? You have the decorations of the sukkah coming down that low, maybe it should disqualify the sukkah. Says the Rajva, it makes a difference what's coming down. If pieces of schach are coming down, people don't live that way with pieces of schach coming down. On the other hand, noy sukkah, you hung up those decorations. They obviously don't bother you. And therefore, they won't disqualify the sukkah. So what do we see from the Rajva? We see from the Rajva the Dira Serucha is not an absolute fact. Dira Serucha is a subjective issue. What may bother me doesn't bother you. That's why the Rambam is very gishmak. Because just like the nice sukkah don't make the sukkah disqualified because they don't bother me, says the Rambam, maybe the schach hanging down, the Gemara calls Dira Serucha, but if I have no other sukkah, it won't bother me. It's better sitting in that than not sitting in anything. The Gemara that we're going to discuss tomorrow about Yud Tfachim is talking about a different subject altogether. The Gemara there is talking about a subject about how high is a wall considered to be considered a wall. That the Gemara said that the minimum height of a wall in Halacha is then 10 Tfachim. That has nothing to do with Diras Rucha. That is a fact. That 10 Tfachim is a wall, lower is not. And that's not a subjective fact. That's a fact. This, however, is subjective. Now we understand why the Rambam differentiates between L'Katchil and B'diyevet. In fact, I saw a Shaila. We could take it a step further. Let's say somebody built his sukkah in a place where certain people would not be comfortable to have a sukkah. He built a sukkah, let's say, right in the middle of the street. And the people that would be uncomfortable, even though it's in a sukkah, to sit in a sukkah right in the middle of the street. And the other people, it doesn't bother them. It could well be. For one person, it would be a kosher sukkah, because for him it's not a diras rucha. And for the next person, who's uncomfortable, it's a diras rucha. Continues the Gemara. If you have a sukkah that's higher than 20 amma, and now again, we're trying to lessen it. So we have the picture here, the diagram, where a person built a platform that touches three walls, and that platform from the top of the platform to the ceiling is less than 20 amas. Like the picture shows it. And this itztaba takes up zayin tfachim, which is the minimum size of a sukkah, as we previously learned. Shame. It's kosher, because now we have the area that is less than 20 amas. Says Rashi, a very big chiddush. Says Rashi, not only will the area above the platform be kosher, so there is no question, it's less than 20 amas tall, even the area which doesn't have that ear, doesn't have that platform, you'll be allowed to sit in. Why? Because Rashi quotes a Gemara from Daf Yotes. The Gemara Daf Yotes speaks about a case of Pesel HaYotzim Nasukah. Let's say you have kosher schach, you have walls and a kosher schach, and then you have the schach protruding. And where the schach is protruding, there are no walls. Now we know to be a kosher sukkah, you have to have walls. Still, says the Gemara, that that's considered an extension of the sukkah, and you could sit even in that area. Says Rashi here too, this area that doesn't have the platform will be in the status of Pesel HaYotzim in the sukkah, and you could sit there. There are many Rishonim that disagree with Rashi. So I saw in the Masorim magazine that the OU gives out an explanation of that machlokes. He explains as follows. We have to understand what is the issue of Pesel HaYotzim in a sukkah. Is Pesel HaYotzim in a sukkah an issue of we extend that area is also considered part of the sukkah? So here, if that's what we're going to say, it's not, because that area has walls that are taller than 20 amas, and as we said, walls that are taller than 20 amas are disqualified. Or we could explain the Pesel HaYotzim in a sukkah is not talking about the cheftza. It's not talking about the sukkah. It's talking about the person. The person who sits in such an area, the Torah tells us, has been mekayim mitzvah yeshiva sukkah. So then it makes no difference how tall the walls are. And that's how Rashi is going to learn. Now we have another situation with a itztaba. Imenitzat. This is the second diagram. Let's say you build the platform, but it only touches two of the walls. Im yesh misfas itztaba l'koysel. If there's less from the edge of the itztaba to the koysel, there's only dalar amis. If there's dalar amis or more, psula. But if it's less than dalar amis, it's ksheir. Says the Gemara, why? My kamashmua. Why, if there's less than dalar amis, is a kosher? They're meaning doifin akuma. There's a locha of doifin akuma, and the Gemara explains what doifin akuma is. Because Tanina, we learn a Gemara in Daf Yudzayin. You have the following situation. Bayish nifchas, you have a hole, and the roof gets a hole in the ceiling. Vesichach agavav, and you put schach on that hole. So the halach is, im yesh min ha-koysel l'sichuch, if from the edge of the schach to the wall, there's dalam, there's 4 amas or more, posel. That is in the kosher sukkah. Ha-pachs mikan, if there's less than 4 amas, ksheira. Why is it kosher? Because we say doifin akuma. What does doifin akuma tell us? That it bends the wall, and it's considered like the wall is bent all the way to the schach, and therefore you have a kosher sukkah, because the wall is abutting the schach. So that's the case of Bifin Akuma. So ask the Gemara, what do I have to say if I built this itztaba, and it's less than dollar amas from the wall, it's kosher, because I say doifan akuma, everybody knows. Answers the Gemara, maratema hasmu de chazi la doifan. Where do I say doifan akuma in a case where I have a regular wall? Avahocha de loy chazi la doifan, here it isn't a good wall. Why isn't it a good wall? Because a wall is 20 amas tall. And halacha teaches us that a wall that's 20 amas or higher is not considered a halachic wall, it's too tall. So Emeloy, perhaps under these circumstances I shouldn't be able to say doifen akuma, kamash malon, that I could still say doifen akuma. So the Moritz Geyer says, the only time I could say doifen akuma is if this itztaba is less than yud fachim. But if the itztaba is yud fachim or more, it becomes an independent area for which we can't say doifen akuma. And we'll speak more about that Moritz Geyer on Amud Beis. Other Rishonim explain, why would I say that I can't say Doifen Akuma? They say a beautiful explanation. What is normally the case of Doifen Akuma? The area between the Schach and the wall, what is there? Ceiling. Possum. It's not kosher Schach. Here, what is between the area where the Itztaba is and the wall? Kosher Schach. You know, perhaps, says the Gemara, where we say Doifen Akuma, it's only when the wall on when the ceiling on top is not kosher Schach. But with his kosher schach, perhaps the halacha of doifen akuma wasn't said. That's what the Gemara has to say, that even in such circumstances, the halacha of doifen akuma was said. Says the Gemara, on along the same lines, ha'isa gvoi mechaf amah, if the sukkah is taller than 20 amas, ubana itztaba b'emtziyosai, and somebody built this platform right in the middle. Says the Gemara, im yesh misfas itztaba l'doifen arba amas l'chol ruach, if there's more than 4 amas from the end of the itztaba to each wall, it's possible. If pachs mi'arba amis, if there's less than 4 amis, k'sheira. Says the Gemara again, what's the concept? My kumash one, they're meaning doifen akuma. Says the Gemara, we just finished proving that we could say doifen akuma in such circumstances. Answers the Gemara, ma the time doifen akuma mirau achsamina. In the previous example, the second diagram on our Omid, we only were saying Doifen Akuma once. Maritema Doifen Akuma Ruach Achas Amina. Av Kal Ruach Ruach Loi. To say Doifen Akuma from 4 sides or 3 sides, we don't say Kamashman, that even here you could say Doifen Akuma. And again, the Ritva says, given that here we're dealing with a situation that there's strong reason not to employ the concept of Doifen Akuma, the Gemara has to explicitly tell us that even under these circumstances we employ it. Now the Gemara goes the other way. Again, we said before that if sukkah is less than 10 tefachim tall, it's disqualified. If the sukkah is lower than 10 tefachim, and you make a hole in the middle of the sukkah, so now you do have the height of 10 tefachim. Says the Gemara, if from the edge of this hole to the wall there's less than gimel tefachim, there's more than a gimel tefachim psula, then it's not acceptable. Pachs mishlosh tefachim, but if there's less than 3 tefachim, kshela. Ask the Gemara, maishna hasam, why in the case of doifen akuma do we say as long as you have less than dalar amis, we say doifen akuma? Maishna hasam the amrit pachas me'abra amis is good enough. Or maishna hachad amrit pachas mishlosh tefachim. There's a very big difference between 3 tefachim and 4 amis. Here we only give you 3 tefachim, and there we give you 4 amis. Answers the Gemara. Hasam the isla doifen. In the case when we have a wall that's 20 amis tall, we have a legitimate wall. If anything, it's too nice of a wall, because it's too tall. So we could say doifen akuma. Pachas me'arba amis sagya, as long as you have less than 4 amis, we could employ the concept of doifen akuma. Hacha, here we don't have a good wall. The wall is less than 10 tefachim tall. L'shavya doifen, we want to make it into a wall. So what concept do we have to employ? We have to employ a different concept. We have to employ the concept of lovid. So pachas mishlosh tefachim in, if it's less than 3 tefachim, we could use lovid, iloy lovid. So there's a very big machlokes rishonim. What's going to be the halacha in this space? You have the hole in the middle. You have less than 3 tefachim to each wall. Are you going to be allowed to carry in that area that isn't 10 tefachim high on the sides of the hole? The area that I'm saying lovid on. I'm going to be allowed to carry there or not? The Meiri says you're allowed to. The Tar says you're not allowed to. So there are two ways of explaining the machlokes. One way of explaining the machlokes is that the Miri holds, the Lovit says that everything is fine. The Tar says, the bottom line is, in this area, outside of the hole, you have less than 10 tefachim height. And the halacha is that if you have less than 10 tefachim height, it's not acceptable. Doesn't make a difference that you have a lomdus of lovin. If you don't have 10 tefachim height, it doesn't, you can't use it as a sukkah. That's one way of explaining. Another way of explaining is a very yeshivish approach. What does lovin do? We have the hole, and then we have the two sides where we have less than 3 tefachim. What does lovin do? Does lovin bring the wall to the hole, or does lovin take the hole to the wall? If you say that lovin brings the wall to the hole, so you only can carry by the hole, it's not outside the hole. If you say that lovin brings the hole to the wall, then you can carry it to the other sides. And actually, using it as a sukkah, I'm sorry. And actually, Rashi speaks about this. Because look at Rashi, the top Rashi. What is Rashi adding here? Rashi is saying that the hole goes all the way to the wall. And it seems that Rashi would therefore say that you're allowed to sit and use as a sukkah the area on the sides of the hole. Now, the Mefarshim ask the following shayla. What's going to be the halacha if you have a sukkah that's 20 amos or less? But now you make a hole in the sukkah, and by making a hole in the sukkah, it's deeper than 20 amos. What's going to be the halacha? So, the Mefarshim say that we won't use the concept of lovid, because we never use the concept of lovid l'chumra. We only use the concept of lovid l'kula. So therefore, if the wall is within 3 tefachim of the hole, that's irrelevant. So what's the halacha on this sukkah? When you have a hole, and again, the Mefarshim say, if the hole is less than Zayin al-Zayin, so it's not an independent area, it's not a kosher sukkah. But what is going to be if it has in itself the shear of a sukkah? What will be the halacha? So Mefarshim say, it goes back to what is the reason why a 20 amos sukkah is possible. If the reason is because you have to have sturdy walls, here I don't have to have sturdy walls, because the walls themselves are less than 20 amos. But if the reason is because I can't see the schach, because it's too tall, or if the reason is that the schach doesn't give shade in this area, so then that area would be disqualified as a sukkah. Now the Gemara discusses another situation. You have a sukkah that's higher than 20 amos. Obanaba amud shigvaya sar tefachim. In the middle of the sukkah, you build a pillar that's 10 tefachim big. The yesh by hechsha sukkah. So now that pillar in itself is at least zayin b'zayin. Sava b'aylamema. So Abaye says we want to use a concept that we discussed in Masechta Shabbos, Masechta Erevin, of good asik. What does good asik say? That the walls that are on the side of the pillar come up. And here too, the walls come up. Ask the Rishonim, why do I have to rely on good asik? Why don't I just say Daifin Akuma? So the two answers given to Rishonim. One answer is that we said the Daifin Akuma could only be used when there's less than 4 amos from the pillar, from the platform to the sides. Here we're dealing with a situation where there's more than 4 amos, so we can't say Daifin Akuma. Another explanation, which goes back to the Meritz Geis that we quoted on Amun Aleph, is that if the platform under consideration is Yud Fochim, so it's an independent area and we can't say Daifin Akuma. And we'll be speaking about a case where this pillar is 10 Tfachim big, and therefore we can't say Daifin Akuma. The Yesh Behechsha Sukkah, Sava Bailamem, good Asim Chitzta, that brings up the walls, and I should be able to sit on top of that platform. Amle Rava. Rava says no. You can't say good asik to make the area on top of the platform a kosher sukkah. Why? Being in mechitzas and the chorus, good achas are imaginary walls. They're halachic walls, but they're not real walls for lek. And therefore, good asik can't turn the area on top of the platform into a sukkah. Ask Rav Chaim Briska. We had this concept in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara said that if you have such a pillar it's considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid, that the area on top of the pillar is considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Why? Because they say good as. So he says, why for Hilchus Shabbos do we consider the walls acceptable walls? And why for Hilchus Sukkah do I not consider it acceptable walls? So Chaim Brisk explains that the requirement of walls for Hilchus Shabbos and the requirement for walls for Hilchus Sukkah are totally different requirements. The requirement of walls for Hilchus Shabbos is that it should be considered a segregated, separate area. So halachic walls could turn this area into a separate area. Sukkah is a different concept altogether. The concept of sukkah is that a person has to sit in a sukkah in which he's surrounded by walls. Here, this person who's sitting on top of the pillar is not surrounded by walls, because the walls around him are 20 amos. And we said the 20 amos walls are not good walls. So he's not sitting in an area surrounded by walls. Halachic walls doesn't make the person surrounded by walls. And therefore, it's not acceptable for her to sukkah. Tan Rabbon, says the Gemara, a braisa, not abracadabra. If somebody took four poles, besichach al gabam, and put schach on top of the four walls, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yaakov machsher, v'chacham paisla. Rabbi Yaakov says it's kosher, and Rabbi Chacham hold it's not. Om Rav Huna, machloikus al sfas agad. When is the machloikus of Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim? When I put the four poles on the four corners of a flat roof. The Rabbi Yaakov sava meaning geudas mechitzta. Since these four poles are on the four corners, they serve to raise up the walls of the house below them, and now I have walls. And the Chacham hold, we don't say good asik by sukkah. Ava be'emtzagar. Let's say somebody in the middle of the roof. So you don't have concept of good asik. The rehakob psula. So now the question is, before we go further, and we'll speak about it soon more, if it's not on the corners of the wall, so it's certainly not of the corners of the flat roof, so it's certainly not a situation of good asik. So why should these sukkah be good? Based on what? So we're going to learn soon, it's based on a different concept. It's based on the concept of the yumid. It's based that we look at each pole. If I would turn it into a right angle, I would have a tefach in each direction. That's considered a wall, and that's why it's an acceptable sukkah. And the Gemara says that, Rav Huna says that everybody agrees that we can't employ that concept to make a sukkah kosher. Rav Nachman says, "Be'emtza gag machlokes." Even in the middle of the floor of the roof, where I can't say good asik, we still have a shaila if we could employ this concept. Ibrahim. So now they ask, according to Rav Nachman, what's Rav Nachman saying? Is he saying, "Be'emtza gag machlokes"? Only on the middle of the roof, we have a machlokes, if we could use this concept of turning them into right angles. Avo sasagag, if the four poles would be on the four corners, divrehakel ksheira, there everybody will agree that we say good asik. A duma bemezu machlokes. What Rav Nachman is saying is there are two machlokes. There's one machlokes in the middle of the roof, if we employ the concept of the yumid, and there's another machlokes on the corner, if we can't employ the concept of good asik. So we don't know. Take the Gemara says, I don't know what Rav Nachman holds. So before we go further, the Rishash asks a very fundamental question. He asks, the Gemara is mixing two totally separate issues. We have one issue called good asik, and we have another issue called the yumid. Why is the Gemara mixing up these two different halachic concepts and connecting them somehow? So the Rishash answers that actually both of these concepts work on the same basis. What is the basis? The word is called extending. What does good asik tell us? Good asik tells us that the wall below gets extended up. What does the yumid tell us? That we turn the pole on the corner into a right angle, and then the right angle is extended across the whole length of that side. So both are dependent on the concept of extending, and therefore the Gemara is connecting these two issues that seemingly don't seem to be connected. Meisvei asked the Gemara Rav Huna, there's a braisa that says, not dal kundesim ba'aretz, if somebody put four poles on the ground, the sichach al gabam, and then he put schach on top of that, so says the braisa, it's machlokes Rav Yaakov de Chachamim, Rav Yaakov machshe v'chachamim poslim. Asked the Gemara, ba'aretz, just putting four poles on the ground, is kemtza gagdom. It's the same like putting it in the middle of the roof. What did Rav Huna say? That in the middle of the roof, everybody agrees that it's not a kosher sukkah. Because Rav Huna says that everybody holds that we don't use the concept of the yumid by sukkah. Yet here we see Kamach Rav Yaakov. Rav Yaakov says it is kosher. Obviously Rav Yaakov does employ the concept of the yumid for sukkah. Says the Gemara Tiyufta Rav Huna Tiyufta. On this point Rav Huna made, that he said that everybody agrees that we don't use the concept of the yumid, Rav Huna is certainly incorrect. Ask the Gemara, maybe there's another kasha Rav Huna. From here it seems, the emtzahu the plegi, the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim is limited to the situation where I want to employ the concept of the yumid. Avol asfas hagag, on the corner, it seems that there is no machlokes. Everybody will hold the reakal ksheira. Yet, Rav Huna said that in the corners, to use the concept of good asik is a machlokes. So perhaps Rav Huna is also refuted when he said that there's a machlokes on the corners. For him, from here it seems that everybody agrees that on the corners it's acceptable. Amlach Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, "This is not this point. You didn't get me on this point. I'm not refuted because pligi beemtza gag. Yes, they are arguing in the middle of the roof. If we say the concept of the yumid, v'hu adin asfas hagag." And the same thing that they'll argue on the roof. So why did they choose to argue about only in the middle of the roof? They should have also told us that they argue on the corner. But the we have a klal, we have a rule throughout Shas. We always want to say the matter. So Rav Huna is telling us, what the Brice is teaching us, look how far Rav Huna is makel. Not only is he makel when the four poles are in the four corners, where there makes more sense to say good asik. But even when you just put four poles down in the middle of the street, it's an unbelievable sukkah. People want to take a trip of Kalamai. According to Rav Yaakov, you have a very easy solution. Take four poles, roll out a schach mat, and you got a sukkah. It's a very big chiddush. Tells us the Braisa that even that Rav Yaakov will consider a kosher sukkah. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. Aloch, it's not a kosher sukkah. Tan Rabban says the Gemara to Braisa, not arba kandisim ba'aretz. If somebody put four poles on the earth, the sichach gavim, and then put schach on top of it, Rav Yaakov Omer. Rav Yaakov says, let's look at these four poles. Kol she'ilu yechiku v'yechloiku. If we could turn these poles into right angles, v'yesh ben tefach l'kan v'tefach l'kan, on each corner, on each side of the right angle, there'll be a length of a tefach, nedoinim mishim d'yoymen, it's considered the yoymen, it's considered an acceptable side of the sukkah. However, v'mlaf, ain't nedoinim mishim d'yoymen. That's not, even Rav Yaakov will agree that's not an acceptable sukkah. Shor Rav Yaakov Omer, the yumdei sukkah tefach. The halach is that to be considered acceptable the yumid is if enough of each side of the right angle has a tefach, it's considered a kosher sukkah. What does the Gemara mean? Because actually we've encountered this concept of the yumid somewhere else. We encountered it in Masecht Ervin when we learned the halach of Pasi Baros. The Gemara Masecht Erevin discusses that they used to go, the earlier Golem used to go to Yerushalayim, and there were water holes on the road going up to Yerushalayim. But the problem was that they couldn't get the water, which was in a pit, which was a Rishus Yochid, to where they were standing, which was a Rishus Rabbi. The Gemara says, the Chazal gave us a solution called Pasibaros. If you put four poles in the four corners that of the area that you want to enclose. The Gemara discusses what's the maximum amount of area you want to enclose. And if the poles were turned into right angles, and each side would have an amma, then we could say piyasi baroz. Says the Gemara, by piyasi baroz, we need that the right angles should have an amma on each side. By sukkah, tells us Rav Yaakov, that not only do we employ this concept of the yumid, but we also say it if each side would only have a tefach. The Chachamim say that this won't work. The Chachamim say, we learned the Gemara yesterday. Yesterday the Gemara taught us that a sukkah has to be Zayin al Zayin. That you have to have, that the minimum dimensions of a sukkah have to have two walls of seven tefachim, and the third wall could be a mashil. Here we only have each wall of a tefach. The halacha is that say the Chachamim, that the minimum actual wall has to be Zayin Tefachim, And if the minimum actual wall is not Zayin Tvachim, it's not a kosher sukkah, and the yumid cannot turn into a kosher sukkah. One more interesting shaila that I saw. What here the Gemara says, we learned in the Gemara before, that if you take a pole, if you take a pillar that's large, Zayin Tvachim, or Yud Tvachim, and you put it in the middle of your sukkah, we don't say good asik. The Rabbah said we don't say, you need to have mechitzas anikaros. What will be the halacha if you have a pit? A hole. You have a real hole, and then you put around the hole something. You put in the hole a pillar. So here the mechitzas anikaros, because you have the hole, the wall around the pit. Will that be considered a mechitzas nikaros that I should be able to say good asik and make that the area on top of the pit, you can't sit in the pit, but the area on top of the pit should be a kosher sukkah? It's machloikis, d'orach ha-shulchan, and the Bikur Yaakov. The Orach ha-shulchan says it's not acceptable. The Bikur Yaakov says that since there it's mechitzas nikaros, because you can see the walls of the pit, therefore we can use the concept of, everybody will agree that we can use the concept of good asik to turn the area above the pit into a kosher sukkah.
It's very interesting there.